What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, December 2nd, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the engaged one at Tim Getty's.
Let's him host. Ho-ho host. There you go.
There you go.
I had to backtrack it a bit. I have two things to say to you, Greg.
Sure.
One is I simultaneously thank and hate you for getting Sweet Caroline stuck in my head this morning.
No problem.
And it'll sure to be there for the rest of the week.
What happened is I was on the phone with Citibank to try to figure out why the company card keeps getting declined, probably because we're out of money. And then my AirPod fell out of my ear and disconnected me from the call and started playing Sweet Caroline. And I was like, man, this is a step up from Citibank's hold music, which was nothing because I was just in silence.
Well, there you go. There you go. The other thing is, so you're wearing your Santa suit for audio.
If you're an audio listener, you need to turn it on right now. Or go to my Instagram. I'll put up an Instagram of it. But I'm in the Santa suit.
And I will say, though, it's like, in real life, it definitely looks like a Santa suit. I don't know how much it plays on camera. We had a debate of whether or not you need the hat.
Do I need the hat? Barrett, do I need the hat?
It kind of just looks like a red suit.
I'm going to say yeah on the hat.
Really?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Kevin, we need you to go dig in the costume closet and find the Santa hat. Thanks, buddy. Now, also, how good does my junk look right now?
So good.
Right? Look at how good my thighs look. My legs look.
You got good junk.
True story. Of course, this is our first time on camera in quite some time. So you have to.
We got to get it out.
We got a lot. Greg's got a lot of Greg built up in him, if you know what I mean. You know, I'm ready to go pow right across the wall with it.
Oh, my God. Please don't hit me in the eye.
I had a dream. You're going to love this dream, too. Had a dream over the break that accidentally showed my dick on Twitch.
Podcast is later.
Accidentally showed my dick on Twitch.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, it was one of those, like, one of these moments where you're like, woof, of like, the dick looked good at the time.
Well, was it your dick or was it a dream dick? Because when I dream about my dick, it's a different dick.
Oh, no, no, I'm proud. No, I'm fine with my dick.
Don't worry. Yeah? I'm fine with my dick, too, but my dream dick is really fucking big.
All right, so now, is it pulling it off now? Now is it
now
you
it's
want
clear.
It to be?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Because, like, it's not that the other one wasn't Santa. Like, obviously it is, but it also kind of had a Bane look to it.
Okay, I understand. You know what I mean? No, the big puffy thing is like, I'm going to come out and be like,
exactly.
Yeah, no.
Right.
I'll tell you more about my dream dick later on Kinda Funny Games. Kinda Funny Podcast. That's what it is. Whatever. Because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Today we're talking about Link being in Mario Maker, Kojima on Death Stranding 2, and you might have to pay for Final Fantasy 7 right now because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. You can go there, give us your questions, comments, concerns, everything under the video game sun. Then tune in live, twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames.
Live.
You can watch us record the show, see all the screw-ups we make, all the things we edit out later. You can also keep us honest. Go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. It's Cyber Monday.
Whoa.
You know, like fucking lasers and shit, and like you're hacking and you're doing cyber sex. Lawnmower Man, remember that? If you go to kindoffunny.com/store right now, everything's on sale, 25% off. You can get in there, get a whole bunch of good stuff, get the brand new hat, get the brand new Kinda Funny sweater. That's the first sweater we've ever put up
it's
that looks like
adult
it's adult clothing. It is not just Andy put a graphic on a t-shirt that he worked really hard on. This is like, hey, you could wear this to
this
a
is someone else put a graphic on a sweater.
But this is like, hey,
it's a fancy
I got a PTA meeting. I can wear this.
Holy
you know what I mean?
Shit,
hey,
it is.
Grandma's birthday or grandma's funeral. I can wear this.
You can.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it looks like
multi-occasion sweater.
It's a sweater that like is an adult sweater that you can wear on many an occasion. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Christmas morning. You put a shirt and tie under that, you can go anywhere. People are gonna, man, this guy sells real estate and he knows what's up. I'm excited to be back. Also, thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Mohammed. Today, we're brought to you by Hims, Tipsy Elves, and Manscaped. But I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Four items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
That been building up inside of you two?
Nah, I've been good.
That one hit me in the eye.
Have you been naughty, though?
Yeah.
Because I'm making a list, Barrett.
Oh,
and I think
yeah,
I want to add you to it.
Audience.
For everybody wondering at home, this is a very this is a similar to the Halloween suit, where every day in December I will wear this, at least the suit jacket.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I guess the hat now, too. The hat and the suit jacket,
they're necessary.
Confirmed every time.
Yeah.
Anybody who guest hosts Imran Khan, maybe somebody else in here who's a surprise for this week, guess what? You got to do it. Those are the rules. You don't like it? Hit the fucking bricks.
Good
you know
rules.
What I mean? I'll fire you like I fired Jared, Penny, and Andrea and Danny. Get rid of them all. You know what I mean? Number one on the Roper Report, Mario Maker is getting an update there. Super Mario Maker
About
2, of
damn
course.
Time.
And it's got the one and only Hero of Time link in it. Of course, a tweet went out that read this. A free content update for Super Mario Maker 2 arrives. They said 5/12 because it was, you know, European. We're back on our side of the pond. We don't have to say it anymore. December 5th, including new course parts, a new mode, and the Master Sword? The official press release reads like this. After downloading the Ver 2.0.0 update, the new Master Sword item will be available to use exclusively in the 8-bit Super Mario Brothers style. When this new course part is picked up, Mario will transform into Link, equipped with a new set of moves like attacking with a sword, shooting arrows, and dropping bombs. In the recently launched The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening game for Nintendo Switch, Link encounters familiar characters from the Super Mario games like Piranha Plants and Goombas. But this time, Link is joining a Super Mario game in Super Mario Maker 2. Transforming into Link using the Master Sword opens up a whole new world of design possibilities for creators. Using his arrows, Link can shoot far-off switches that Mario would normally not be able to hit. His new down-thrust move with the sword will defeat usually protected enemies like the spiked-covered Spinies. And with bombs, some of the walls that would normally be impassable by Mario and friends can easily be blown up. In addition to Link, the update also adds more course parts and enemies, as well as the new Ninji. Am I saying that right? Speedruns?
Sure.
Oh, okay, I thought this was some Mario deep lore guy.
It's not Mario.
Perfect for players looking for a challenge. Here we go with the additions, all right? Dash Block. Available in the Super Mario 3D World style, the Dash Block course part gives Mario a major speed burst when stepped on. Frozen Coin. These coins are surrounded by a block of ice and can only be released if melted by fireballs or other sun fire elements, including a certain angry sun. P-Block. When a P-switch is hit in the course, invisible P-blocks temporarily turn into hard platforms or vice versa.
Hit my P-switch!
Oh my god, let me hit my P-block real quick, you know what I mean? Spike. This classic enemy coughs up massive spike balls and launches them at Mario. If used in the snow environment, Spike will toss out snowballs instead. And Pokey, the iconic statue.
What's wrong with Pokey, Greg? Did it make you think of your old turtle?
It's just Pokey, of course, but then just Pokey, the iconic stacked cactus. Oh, yeah, of course, Pokey.
It is.
No, we all
know exactly what he's talking
we
about.
We all know his name is Pokey, the iconic stacked cactus from multiple Super Mario games joins Super Mario Maker 2 for the first time. Players can even edit the height of each Pokey. In the new Ninji Speedruns mode, players can take on a timed challenge in courses created by Nintendo exclusively for this mode. Other players, Ninji Ghosts, will run alongside players as they
Ninji are the, like, now that I see it, I get it, because I also didn't know the
They're little ninjas.
I get it, right? They're the guys from Mario 2.
Oh, Mario okay. 2. Are they the iconic characters?
They're the iconic ninjas, yeah.
The Ninji Ghosts that appear are selected from player data at a similar performance level, so players can gradually improve their performance by running the course alongside other players' Ninji Ghosts. Players can also collect stamps by clearing courses and redeem them in-game to get special Mii costumes. Each Ninji Speed Run event will run for about a week, with new courses distributed periodically. During the event, players will be ranked by their play time in that course. Pokey!
Fuck.
The iconic.
Me and you are on three shows today, Greg.
I'm just built up. I'm not allowed to be this way with my wife. Now here I am talking about Pokey the iconic. Oh, players can still run the course alongside Ninji Ghosts and collect stamps even after the event period has ended.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man. This sounds like an awesome update.
This is awesome. I just watched the trailer, like skimming through it to see all the Link stuff. Like, it's there's a lot of versatile things they're adding here.
Yeah, yeah.
Like with the arrows, it's not just shooting straight. Like you can aim it diagonally and stuff too to be able to collect the different things to unlock the keys as we are very familiar with in our kind of funny paper
Halloween Hellscape. Yeah,
Halloween Hellscape that you can watch. This is awesome. I wish we had gotten this every month for the last 6 months.
Would you rather this be? In a perfect world, would you rather this update have been drip-fed to you, where you're getting like, all right, Ninji courses are in this month, and then Link is in this month, and then this is in this month?
Maybe, just because I feel like that type... Mario Maker 2, I feel, would be best suited. Mario Maker in general, with constant updates that are bringing you back in with reasons that are... Yeah.
It's almost out of my system.
You know, July. No, but I feel like the Link stuff is really exciting. That changes the game. It opens it up. It's going to create a whole bunch of new types of courses, right?
Yeah.
But I wanted to see a lot more of that.
This could be the opening salvo, right? Where we're going to get more things?
Nintendo's in such a weird place with the Switch and with DLC, where... At the end of the Wii U life cycle, I feel like there was a time where they were first dabbling with their proper console DLC.
Yeah.
And they were kind of nailing it. Everything that they released was great content, totally worth the price. Thinking of Mario Kart here, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Awesome DLC packs. That's an example of how you should do it. Then with the Switch, out the gate, they were just like, okay, cool, we're going to keep adding that stuff. The Zelda stuff, they announced it, and like it was whatever it was, but... At least that they got ahead of it and let you know.
Hey, here's the season pass.
Here's what this is going to be. Smash obviously has been awesome. Mario Odyssey? There was the balloon update. Yeah. How did we not get more worlds?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's such a weird thing. Sure, we assume they're making a Mario Odyssey 2 that's similar to a Galaxy 2 situation that they were like, it was going to be an add-on, but then we ended up making a whole game.
We started making the add-ons. We had so much fun that we did.
You know, it's been a long time.
So you're saying next year, Mario Odyssey 2?
I hope so. Yeah. But so the lack of DLC there was... Interesting for sure. I feel like this is an even bigger example of man, like this really kind of needed a lot. It needed a lot more.
And it's like they're not wrong. It is iconic. I know if you said the Mario cactus, but when they're like Pokey, I'm like the fucking horse from Gumby. Like, what are you talking about? That's the iconic Pokey.
Yeah, that is true. But I feel like Mario Maker 2 would have. Been in a lot more people's game of the year discussions had there been more substantial DLC
updates. Sure,
because when I first saw the Nintendo Direct for Mario Maker 2, I called you, Greg Miller. And
you
I
did.
Was like, this might be my game of the forever.
Yeah, you did say
that. And honestly, it has the potential to become that, but it's not that right now. I feel like there's key things that are holding Mario Maker 2 back, one of them being the lack of playlists, like games that people can create, right?
Sure.
World map. Being able to make, like, here's a game of all the levels that I've made that fit together. People being able to work on making a Mario adventure together. Like,
yeah.
That would be awesome.
You want it to lean a little bit more towards Little Big Planet.
Yes.
Where they started linking levels and doing that stuff.
Yeah.
Do you want him? I'm going to bring in the question.
Go for it.
The Sheep Whisper wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can to be part of the show, and says, good to see you again after such a long holiday break. KFGD crew. This morning, Nintendo revealed the newest update for Super Mario Maker 2, which includes some interesting things. The most interesting by far is the inclusion of a Link transformation. This isn't any old transformation, but almost an entirely playable Link with bombs, bows, shields, and sword attacks. Is it possible that this update is another, more concrete in comparison to the Dragon Builder mode in Link's Awakening? Testbed. So is this possible that this update is another testbed for Nintendo to see if it is possible to create a Legend of Zelda Maker game?
No.
Do you think, though, this is them opening the door to Mario Maker being able to be anything and everything? Like, is this, do you see them trying to make this, if they're trying to make it, or you want it to be more like Little Big Planet, do you think it goes as far that in Mario Maker you're able to make Zelda dungeons?
No.
Okay.
No. And it's not more like Little Big Planet. It's just like, I want it to just be an actual Mario game maker, not just Mario level maker.
Okay, fair.
And I think that this, what we're seeing in the Link here is... All right, let me take a step back. Mario Maker 1 had the amiibo characters where essentially any amiibo you had, you could put in the 8-bit mode, your Mario would be skinned looking like Pikachu, looking like whatever the hell it was, add some fun little sound effects or whatever. This is different than that. This is actually like giving new abilities, making it act like Link would act.
Right.
I like to see that. I want to see more, but that's not how Link acts in his games.
Good
right?
point. Yeah.
So it's like it's still just it's a platforming game, and it's not even like platforming like Zelda 2 even. It's like it's Mario just with different abilities. Like this is kind of like Mario if there was a Link power up.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, totally.
With multiple moves, I guess. But I like the gameplay enhancements that allows. I feel like it's going to allow people to create stages and puzzles based around that. Like even in the trailer, like there was a boss fight happening with like four Links working together to fight the boss, and it reminded me a lot of Four Sword Adventures. And that's really cool. But that's not actually Zelda, though. It's like it's the Mario version of that.
Yeah,
so that's
why
I don't think this is like moving towards a Zelda maker as much as the Link's Awakening dungeon map mode, whatever, was kind of like dabbling in that. But I think that's also an example to me of like why we're not going to see a Zelda maker. It's like I think it's just like too complicated to to pitch that.
Do you think Mario Maker 2 is underperformed, like to where they wanted it to be or what they expected it to be?
We'll have to wait till Nintendo puts out its numbers.
Yeah.
Because like,
well, will they ever? I mean, this has to cross the threshold, right, to get there.
I mean, it's going to cross that threshold.
Okay.
I mean, did it sell over a million? Yes, it did.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's a 2D Mario game in some
way. Have you been surprised by the sticking power of it? Because Mario Maker, the original Mario Maker on Wii and 3DS, but I'm talking about the Wii U version. Sorry, my Wii U. Felt like that was around forever. Now, granted, I think it was because it was such a new idea and so novel, and we had people like Dan and Patrick going back and forth. And
I think that's all it was.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like any argument that Mario Maker 1 is bigger than Mario Maker 2 is just flat out wrong. Because, like, you look at, like, even on Twitch streams now of people playing, like, they're still playing.
Yeah.
And the community that was at 1 is just trounced by what we have for 2, numbers-wise, right?
Gotcha.
And people that are keeping up. This is definitely going to keep that going a bit more. I just think that it could have been something massive had they kept going with it and adding a couple different like key elements that would have prolonged the life of this game. However, it's Nintendo. This game can last forever.
Sure.
And it's not going to go on sale. It's going to still retail for $60 as a new game. And if they keep adding content to it, I think that it has more.
Do you think they do? Do you think they plan it?
Yeah. I mean, I think this is a, why are they doing this? This is random. Right?
Christmas. People are going to get
it. Why put Link in it? Like, that is definitely, if you're going to do that, there's going to be more.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we're going to get big updates. Like, we see with Smash Brothers with the spirit events and stuff that they add. It's like to promote other game content.
Sure.
I feel like they'll do that with this as well.
Okay. Well, then. The 5th, everybody, of December. I said it like you Europeans like, because we were over there a second ago. Thank you for everybody who came to the Kinda Funny World Tour meet and greet in London. It was awesome. It was incredible. We had a great time. So many views?
Use, like in favorite.
Oh, color. Yeah, there are a lot of use over there. It's weird. Kebabs writes into kindoffunny.com/wrong and says, there was a statement made within Nintendo that Super Mario Maker 2 did undersell to their expectations, which they state was due to the lack of post-launch content updates. Kebabs does not cite his work, so I have no idea if that's true or false.
Yeah.
Number 2. Let's talk about the one and only Hideo Kojima, who hasn't had a day off since October, he tweeted. He just noticed that. Because he's having such a good time out there in his world, too. This is Chris Priestman over at IGN, who is on one of my final Kinda Funny Games dailies of November. I complimented Chris on doing great work, because he gets read on the show all the time, and he continues to be. I'm now making the note, everybody. Chris Priestman, now my number one favorite at IGN.
Wow.
And that means Per Schneider moves to number 2, Craig Harris to number 3. Hideo Kojima says he would consider making a sequel to Death Stranding, but it probably wouldn't continue on from the first game. In an interview with Vulture, Hideo Kojima discussed the possibility of working with Norman Reedus again, and that if he did, it could be a sequel to Death Stranding. That said, if he were to start such a project, Kojima says he would, quote, start from zero. What that presumably means is that a second game wouldn't continue any plot points on from the first game. Perhaps the two games would be connected by sharing the same universe or exploring similar themes instead. Aside from the possible Death Stranding 2, the interview also reveals that why Kojima added online components to the game. After watching Martin Scorsese's 1976 film Taxi Driver, Kojima realized that people all over the world feel the loneliness that he did as a kid. That feeling of wanting to alleviate loneliness led to the social strand system. Quote, that's why I added this indirect online connection in the game, so that people will feel it's all right, it's okay, Kojima told Vulture. You're relieved that you're not alone. You see other people's footprints and think it's not just me here, end quote. Kojima also says that the terrifying ocean-based imagery in the game, seas of tar and giant squid monsters, stems from his fright when his late father pushed him out to the ocean on a boat when he was a kid. I can see why they'd be terrifying, Hideo. Just go out. There you go. That's what it's going to be. Tim, do you want a Death Stranding 2?
Zero.
Would you
want... It all connects. Metal Gear Solid, baby. This is all just headlines for headlines' sake news, right? This reminds me a lot of the constant DC movie news where it's like, oh, they're making this, Flash movie's not happening,
Ezra Miller.
It's like that, where it's like, I don't, will he work with Norman Reedus again? Probably.
Of course.
Will there be a Death Stranding 2? I don't know.
I hope not. Yeah, I love Death Stranding, and I know it didn't click for you. Mm-mm. I love Death Stranding. I love the idea that Kojima is in this new echelon of game designer, developer, director.
Yeah.
Where legitimately, as he's proven with Death Stranding, It doesn't need to be Metal Gear. Do it can just be a Hideo different. Kojima game, and everybody's like, oh, like in the same way of Scorsese, and we all know how obsessed, in a good way, Kojima is with movies, right? And how much he loves cinema. I think he sees that too, that he understands, hopefully, that his name is big enough that he can go make another new IP. He can make a different idea.
That's the thing, is like there's so few developers out there that can have that magic behind them going into a new IP.
Yeah.
And I hope that the partnership with Sony continues, because I feel like it is that type of relationship that allows the creativity and allows just the, like, fuck it, let's do something different. We're going to commit to it, and we're going to push it. Yeah. We're going to push it as if it's a giant AAA title that everybody should know. And it's Death Stranding. You know, it's like seeing commercials for that is weird. But Sony's committing to it, and I applaud them for that. And I think that I'd want to see more of that from Kojima, of just doing something different, doing something weird. I prefer it to not be Death Stranding weird, some different type of weird. But
you want like talking cars weird?
Yeah, maybe some talking cars. Yeah. But I just don't think that Death Stranding 2 is the right call from a marketing perspective.
You figure, and I'm talking out of my ass completely, but you figure for him, having done Metal Gear for so long, knowing what it's like to have that franchise yoke around your neck, that to have that freedom to come up with anything, to do Death Stranding, I would think you'd want to move on to the next thing. There's probably ideas for what you could do with the Death Stranding universe and yada, yada, yada. But I think it'd be cooler, the idea of like, now let's do something completely different. Here's a talking car.
What I don't want to see is they can do whatever the fuck they want in the Death Stranding universe, because the Death Stranding universe is weird.
Yeah.
So it's like, it could be a parallel universe, and it's a totally different style game, totally different thing, but it's Death Stranding. But
the beaches still connect us all.
Colon whatever the hell. Yeah. But there's still beach stuff.
Death Stranding, colon, talking car.
And I feel like that is going to hold it back. Like, this is one of the, I don't want a cinematic universe. I guess that's what I'm saying. It's like, do something that is its own thing. Sure, there can be a nod. There can be some Easter egg, something
obviously,
fun. But it's like, don't make it like this big connected thing where all these games are going to have to interact, because that's where you just get weird for weird sake of like just overly complicated. Focus on one thing, one story. One, he likes narrative. It's going to be narrative driven. Give a good story. Like that. Good characters, good story.
Yep. Agreed.
And the Norman Reedus thing, though, him wanting to work with him again, interesting, because when's the last time they worked together?
Silent Hills.
Yeah. It's like, I'd love to see that, you know, and it can't be Silent Hills, but like, give me a horror game with Norman Reedus directed by
Kadira. See, that's not even the way I want it to go, is that I hope that working with Mads, working with Norman, right, opens this door to other Hollywood types who have now met Hideo, who think he's cool and want to do all this different stuff. What is it? Dame Judi Dench, right? What is her name?
Judi Dench?
Yeah, that's right. From Fast and Furious. She met him at the fucking thing because her son worked on the game. Who was it? Who was the... Helen Mirren from Fast and Furious. That's who I'm thinking
of. Judi Dench is from James Bond.
Right. Sorry. Was she? Oh, right. She's like Q now or whatever, right? Yeah.
Well, not now, always. Well, she was.
What do you mean? She was always in James Bond?
Well, in the Pierce Brosnan ones, right? Yeah.
That's true. But before then, you know what I mean? Like, she always has.
Okay, not always.
Now, as somebody who's only seen the one where he goes, I thought Christmas only came once a year, I think I'm doing pretty good with my knowledge here of James Bond, all right? This is Judi Dench, all right, you know. Early life, yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Helen Mirren, she went to the fucking thing. She went to the Hideo Kojima's Death Stranding New York tour with Dan Reichert. Well, not with him, but they were both there. Because her son works on music for PlayStation. So now she's met him. She thinks this is all cool. Maybe she's a star in the next game. Mm-hmm. And Norman Reedus is just some...
I'd be into that.
Cameo or whatever. Yeah. You know, I'd
be down for that too.
Let's shake it up a bit. Let's get a whole bunch of different people up here. I digress. Here we go. GoldenEye was her first role as M, is what we're finding out here?
Yes, it's the Pierce Brosnan era.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of fucking Bond before that.
But like, you know, you said those are the ones that I grew up with, so they're the only ones that matter. Count.
Yeah, sure, okay. Number three, if you pre-ordered Final Fantasy VII, even though I wrote 8 here for some reason, you might be getting charged. Baird, fix that so it doesn't get copied over like it always does to the description and get me in trouble. Thank you. An email went out from Square to people who pre-ordered from the Square Enix store, and it reads like this. Dear, whatever your name is, thank you for your pre-order of the Final Fantasy VII Remake First Class Edition PlayStation 4. Pre-orders are typically debited 2 to 3 weeks before the shipment date. However, some customers have experienced payment rejections in the past due to insufficient funds or expired credit cards before payment processing, leading to pre-order cancellations. To ensure that there are sufficient funds in your account, the payment processing attempt for Final Fantasy VII Remake First Class Edition PS4 will start earlier than usual. Please expect the first debit attempt to happen during the first week of December. If this attempt is unsuccessful, there will be additional debit attempts throughout the next few months. Upon successful payment, your order will be secured and is expected to be shipped near the release date of March 3rd, 2020. If you would like to expedite your payment process and avoid any potential delays, you can pay for your pre-order now by visiting purchase history page below. Click manage, then debit now, blah, blah, blah. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask.
This seems like a bad thing.
Why does it seem like a bad thing, boys?
What do you mean, why?
Because I'm playing devil's advocate and having a conversation on a podcast. I'm trying to make content here.
Devil's advocate to this. It's like, yeah, this is really, really bad, really stupid. Why would they ever think that this is okay to do?
Frank Furter writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says this. Welcome back, Greg and Tim. Last week, Square Enix sent out emails to everyone who pre-ordered the super awesome deluxe whatever you call it version of Final Fantasy VII Remake and said they're going to start charging. A few things to unpack here. The first and foremost is that it's the holiday season you're making this decision in. Unless you're making a comfortable earning, you're not going to have an extra $330 lying around to buy this edition outright. Second, we are still months away from release. Why not have this be an optional payment as many people are still saving for it? Third, I can't think of one currently, but this is just mind-boggling that they do this. Yeah. Do you think Square needed a few extra bucks to help get this game finished on time, or do you think it's just a mistimed error?
I think it's a mistimed error. Games don't work that way.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, we need more money. Let's get something. This just doesn't make any sense. Like, it's them just trying to secure the money, make sure that they have it. They're a business. That's what happens.
Yeah.
But having said that, this doesn't make any sense even for the reasoning they're giving, where it's just like, to make sure that you have the money, but it's like, what if you don't have the money later? You know?
Well,
so it's like, you're getting charged now. You pay them now for this thing that you're going to get later.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's not how this works. That's not how this has ever worked. And that's not how it ever will work. This is not going to be a trending thing. This is not going to be happening with other developers and publishers.
Are we being, here's the thing about it, I guess. Are we being, when I buy something on Amazon,
mm-hmm.
and I buy it in advance, and I pay for it in advance. Like, when I bought my PlayStation 4, I just paid for it. I didn't put down, did I not get charged till it shipped? Is that how it worked? We're cracking open my personal.
Yeah, I guess you're bringing up a very good point. But this wasn't, that's how Amazon works.
Uh-huh.
That's not how these pre-orders work. If this was, clear from the beginning, that would be different.
I got a lot of emails from over that, including Amazon.
When you pre-order a game months in advance on Amazon, doesn't it usually not charge you until it ships out?
That's what we're trying to figure out,
yeah.
I think I ordered something recently on Amazon, pre-ordered something, in the last year, and I don't remember getting charged until, the week before or something like that.
Well, here's what I'll do then. I'm going to go opposite direction. I'll open up my credit card statement.
Mm.
You know what I mean? See, and I order from Amazon all the time, so that'll tell us, right?
And then when you have a second, read all of your credit card information out loud, please.
You're, on Skycam watching
us. I'm sure someone here and you're wrong.
I'm sure you're wrong is about to explode with the guys. Yeah, okay. Yeah, Tagless02 says stop. Amazon pre-orders don't charge until it ships.
Okay, cool. Then yeah.
Alex Russ, Zero Syndicate, says Square does this for collector's editions so they don't generate more than they need and reopen pre-order options for those on a wait list. They did this with Final Fantasy XIV Shadowbringers. However, that was about a month before release. Normal editions were charged closer to release.
That's where this gets weird, is that this is a super special edition that is limited and it's going to sell out no matter what, where it's a hot ticket item that they don't need to try to sell. So I can understand the argument of them trying to allocate how many they actually have. The other side of that is, who the fuck cares? Like, if people pre-ordered, they pre-ordered. And then later, if they don't get charged, then you have extra ones, put them on sale. They will sell.
Sure, but isn't that the same thing that... How quickly are you putting on pre-orders? I understand what they're trying to do here. I don't think it's a money grab. I think, as we're saying, just poorly timed, not thinking it through. And when I first read about this, right, I was like, who cares? And then when it's like, oh, it's $330, I'm like, ah, I get what you're saying now. That makes more sense, especially in Christmas, especially at the end of the year, especially all these different things.
You need to know, you need to be able to expect when your bank account is going to shift and change.
100%.
And that's the only thing that I find egregious about this. If they straight up said, hey, you're going to be charged as you order this,
right,
then that's a totally different
thing. And that's the problem, is that there's no way to opt out, right? It's saying, hey, the first week we're going to try to do this. If it doesn't work, we'll keep trying later. It's like, well, I don't want it to work right now.
Mm-hmm.
I understand Square's side of it, of I'm sure they've been burned probably with things like Shadowbringers, right? Where it's like they've done this, they go to charge, let's say 10%, that's probably high, 5%, 10%, 7% don't actually go through. And then it's this rigmarole of, hey, your thing didn't go through. Did you even see the email? Is it attached? Is it then an angry email from you or call of why didn't you get it? And I have to say that your card got declined. And then we have to do it again, and the card still gets declined. It's all this other work. And then, like you're saying, in the end, that 1% or 2%, right, they don't end up paying at all. So you just go back and resell it. Now you're selling it after the release date. You're selling it after the hype. You're sitting on all these pre-orders that you wanted for a $300 edition that you wanted to get out, but people already bought the regular edition.
Here's the thing, though, is like I feel like that's just not the reality of this situation, yeah, where even if it was a year after, people are still going to want the special edition, sure, because like it is the collector's edition thing that they're trying to get. They right. will sell out. That's not going to be an issue at all if you can get it for retail, because there's going to be people buying it on eBay for way more, right?
Yeah.
So there's so many systems in place, and obviously I'm boiling this down, but it's like all the rigmarole and stuff, that's automated stuff. That's just like, oh, it got declined. An email goes out to you, another email. The third email can say, hey, you're losing this. Yeah. You know what I mean? And like, that's totally normal business. That's how things work. So I feel like that would be just the better way to do it. And then put it back on the market once those things get declined.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing, right, is when you go to click on the buy button for this or pre-order button in this situation, it needs to tell you, hey, this yep. is where we're going to try to take
it. That's it.
If they did that, fix it, no big deal. But yeah. like we're all saying, this is poorly timed and a weird choice and sucks for the holidays. That's when you're going to hit around this.
Yeah.
I digress. Barrett, I haven't decided. Have you been naughty yet?
Only for you, Greg.
Thanks, buddy. Number four, PlayStation is celebrating its 25th anniversary tomorrow. Jim Ryan, president and CEO of SIE, put this up over on the PlayStation blog. Over the past 25 years, PlayStation has stood at the forefront of gaming, and I'm honored to have been a part of this team since its early days. As I was helping set up the business in Europe, I remember having to start from scratch with many things, from hiring employees to ordering furniture. Back then, we focused on catering to local markets to ensure that a gamer in Poland would feel a part of the broader PlayStation community just as much as someone in the UK or Japan or the US. Supported by passionate fans all over the world, around the world, our business has grown significantly, and our focus on community is more important than ever. That's why they're bringing back PSX. Just kidding, he didn't write that. It's truly humbling to see fans who grew up on PlayStation passing down their love of gaming to their children, who are now playing on PlayStation 4. On behalf of all of us at PlayStation, thank you for taking this journey with us. We can't wait to celebrate what comes next with you.
It feels like yesterday, man. We were just talking about this. PSX 2014, it must have been.
Yeah.
Where they announced the PlayStation 1 colored PS4.
Yeah, the 20th.
For the 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
And like, that just seems like yesterday, man. Like, yeah. It's just crazy.
Trying to get it on the show floor.
Yeah, exactly. But it's crazy how far we've come in this generation of PlayStation and how far PlayStation's come. Like, we've looked at it for years of Nintendo being this massive IP that has so many IP that can play together in Smash Brothers, and these characters mean something.
Yeah.
And how, you know, when PlayStation Battle Royale came out, it was kind of like,
awesome.
This is, no.
Just not a full copy of Smash Brothers should have been.
It's just like, who are these people? Why don't you have the iconic?
You
it's
knew
like, oh, because PlayStation focused so much on third parties that they didn't own, that like their characters like Crash and Spyro or Snake and Cloud aren't theirs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now they're all Smash Brothers. But we look in it now, I feel like over those 5 years, that's totally changed. It's totally shifted. Like from the end of the PS3 into the PS4, it's like PlayStation now has so many iconic characters, so many iconic IP, so many just iconic gaming moments, memories. Like the DualShock is iconic. So much about PlayStation is just as important to video games as anything Nintendo's ever done.
Yeah.
And I just think that that's crazy of like how much that can change in 5 years.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want your PlayStation memories. Write them into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. We'll go through it tomorrow on the celebration on the day of the 25th anniversary. Tim, it'll be me and Imran tomorrow. Ooh. So I'll save mine for then. But for you, when you think of PlayStation, 25 years of PlayStation, what stands out for you?
Crash Bandicoot Warped, because it is the most iconic fucking PlayStation game. Yeah. You guys can pretend that our games cast from 2 weeks ago, the most iconic PlayStation games, was in celebration of this.
Hey, Barrett, re-promote that tomorrow. Do you want me to? Do I have to Slack it to you? Will you remember that?
I'll Slack. Maybe. Yeah.
No. I mean, seriously, I feel like Crash Bandicoot Warped was such a huge moment because it was the first Crash game that I was like anticipating the release of. Like, I had one and two already. Like when I got the PlayStation, and it was just like, oh my god, this new one's coming out. And that was the commercials. That was the Hey Plumber Boy. Like all that. Yeah. And that was such a big moment where it forever had been Nintendo and Sega, and it felt like PlayStation was this like new cool thing, Crash Bandicoot, man.
Yeah, Crash Bandicoot, and the graphics, they were so cool. Mm-hmm. I remember being such a Sega fanboy, and this isn't a positive PlayStation memory, so I'll share. Being such a Sega fanboy that when Poe and I went over to our friend's house, Patrick, who had a PlayStation, he was playing Game Day, and I remember when like the icons for Circle, Square, Cross, X, all that popped up, and I remember like, what the fuck is this? And I was making fun of the buttons.
Yeah.
God, fanboys are stupid. Mm-hmm. You know, but PC gaming, that's where the real dumb guys go. PlayStation memories. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You all have homework to do. Tim, I can't wait to see what these memories are all about. Memories are still so far away.
It's true.
If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the Mom and Grop shops. Where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today. Tracks. On PlayStation 4. Where the Water Tastes Like Wine on PlayStation 4. And Saga Scarlet Grace Ambitions, PlayStation 4 and Switch.
Wow.
Deals of the day? It's Cyber Monday. There's a million deals out.
Open your eyes.
I literally wrote, it's Cyber Monday, open your eyes. Yeah. I went to IGN. Deals, oh, the whole page. GameSpot.
Tons of deals.
Whole thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of different ones for the Switch going around, I see.
Yeah.
In terms of, you can finally get a discount on a Switch Lite on Amazon. Mm. You can get, I think if you order the Mario Kart bundle, which is the old Switch with the not great power, you get a 128 gigabyte memory card free.
Wow.
There's like discounts. It's all over. It's Cyber Monday. Get out there.
You can get $30 off of a Keurig.
30 or 3?
30.
Okay.
I did that.
Oh, nice. Also remember, kindoffunny.com/store, Cyber Monday sale right there. 25% off. Get out there. Have some fun, kids. Tim.
Yes.
Now it's time for reader mail. Mm-hmm. You can write in, of course, to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can get the show ad-free. Speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Hims. You've heard us talking about this problem for a while. You know what we're going to say. 66% of men start to lose their hair by the age 35, and once you start to notice it, it can be too late. Be like Kind of Funny's Nick Scarpino and Andy Cortez. They noticed their thinning hair, and they went to 4Hims. What's 4Hims, you might say? It's a one-stop solution. You go there, you can get all sorts of stuff. You can get skin loss, or no, that's right, hair loss. Skin loss means hair loss. Skincare, hair loss, sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims is helping guys be the best version of themselves with licensed physicians and FDA-approved products to help treat hair loss. These aren't snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. These are prescription solutions backed by science. You can go there and avoid all the awkward in-person doctor visits or long pharmacy lines. 4Hims connects you to real doctors online, which could save you hours completely confidentially and discreetly. You answer a few quick questions, the doctor reviews it, and if they determine it's right for you, they can prescribe you medication to treat hair loss that is shipped directly to your door. This holiday season, let it grow, let it grow, let it grow.
Oh my God.
Hims. You like that?
Thank you, Hims.
Try Hims today by starting out with a free online visit. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's FORHIMS.com/gamesdaily. 4hims.com/gamesdaily. These are, of course, prescription products. They're subject to doctor's approval, and they require the online consultation with a physician to determine if they are right for you. See the website for full detail and safety information. This could cost hundreds if you went to a person or a doctor's office. So, instead, go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. Next, it's Tipsy Elves. It's officially the holidays, and no party is complete without getting your ultra-festive holiday clothing from Tipsy Elves. Tipsy Elves is the one-stop shop for all your holiday clothing needs. They sell one-of-a-kind Christmas sweaters, dresses, family pajamas, and onesies that will transform your holiday party into an unforgettable experience. You will be the life of the party, just like Josh McCougar. Reveal your hilarious holiday alter ego and score bragging rights by having the best Christmas sweater at the party. Of course, I'm wearing one right now.
Yeah, you are.
My Santa suit is from Tipsy Elves.
You too could be like Greg Miller.
Yes,
and every day in December wear your Santa outfit.
You could, yeah. No BS, I really like the suit. It's really good. It fits great. I think it's a great quality. I'm excited to have it. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to wear it. I'm excited to put other people in it.
I'm excited for you, Greg.
Thank you. You can wear it anytime you want.
Okay.
You want to wear it right now? I'll get naked right here. Maybe this is
not
the dream.
Not right now, but maybe.
Okay,
later.
Fine. They have hilarious designs. Of course, they have sweaters that have everybody at the party laughing. Everything's comfortable. Interactive sweaters. You can skip the small talk and bring the fun to the party. From drinking game sweaters to tacky tinsel and lights, these sweaters are the ultimate icebreakers.
See, lights. That's something I'm more into.
You want some lights in your sweater?
I want some lights. I want to light up.
Okay, great.
Light up like a diamond.
Tipsy Elves have done the shopping for you for White Elephant Gifts. They have an all-new, carefully curated White Elephant gift section. These gifts are hilarious. Say snow thank you to boring this
Woo-hoo,
year.
Guys!
Try one of the hilariously awesome designs from Tipsy Elves. Go to tipsyelves.com/games right now for 20% off your entire order. That's tipsyelves.com/games for 20% off today! Today! Today!
Tipsy Elves, one of our the OG kind of funny sponsors.
They've been around a long time. You. That sweater Kevin has of the Santar, yeah, that he wears all the time. Yeah, that's it.
Half Santa, half horse.
And then our final sponsor of the day, Manscaped. Support for Kinda Funny Games Daily comes from Manscaped, who's the best in men's below the belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels.
Mine are looking good, Greg.
Mine too.
Right before London, I was like, I'm going abroad. My balls need to look right. And now they're looking good. Both of them.
Okay. Jingle balls on the walls, fellas. Listen up.
We're 3 for 3 on the puns, baby.
Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. We're talking about Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0. This includes their Lawnmower 2.0. It has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. Tim, have you ever nicked or snagged your nuts with this?
Too many times. Not with this one. Yeah, no. So far, I've been having a great time, man.
Again, no BS. I'm the exact same way. It works great. You don't have to worry about it.
I've been nicked before.
Oh, yeah, it's bad. It bleeds real bad.
You don't want to be nicked.
The Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0 also includes the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer.
And you've been using that.
You already put your deodorant on your armpits. Why not put a deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? And yes, your balls stink. Tim, later I'd like to smell your balls.
Okay, they're stinky.
Well, did you put the deodorant?
No, not yet.
Oh, then no, I don't want to do it. Jeez, I thought you said you've been using it.
Andy.
Oh. All right, make a note. Slack Andy. See if I can smell his balls then. Tis the season to manscape, so get yourself, your dad, your brother, and friends the best gift of all, the Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code GAMES. Clean up your nuts and make Santa proud this year.
Hell yeah.
Let's see what the kids have to say.
I want to answer some kid questions, Greg.
Stale Savior, a new name that I don't recognize. Yeah, welcome to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. With pictures circulating of the PlayStation 5 dev kits outside of the original leak, what are your guys' thoughts on the potential design of the console? Dev kits rarely ever resemble the final product, but this seems almost optimized for airflow, which has been a serious issue in Sony's history. So, I think that it could hint at what they're going for. Also, do you guys think that more companies using these dev kits means that game leaks for what's coming to PlayStation 5 could come in the near future? Barrett, can you Google real quick and throw up what he's talking about, the PlayStation 5 dev kit leak? If you haven't seen it or you're an audio listener, imagine a big old V. Oh, we can't do it right now? No big deal.
Yeah, no,
imagine
sorry.
A big old V, right? It's shaped like that. What I had read online from people talking about this was that it's built this way so that they can be stacked on top by developers using it. Because the idea is that the V center, right, is going to blow the air out that way, and then the sides blow it out the other way rather than have to blow it out the top.
I think they're just like, we want the console to look like the Boomerang controller.
That's true, too. That is true, too. You're right.
I don't think this is a hint at what's
to come. Of course not. No. The
PS5 is going to be sleek and sexy. It's going to rival the look of the PlayStation 4 Pro and the Xbox One X.
Yeah.
Which we've been seeing a trend going away from
simplicity.
consoles of yore that used to just be like the fun machine, the Nintendo 64. It's like.
And it was a fun machine.
No more curves. No more. We want some hot angles. You know?
Yes. We want clean angles. Box. Yeah. We want this thing box. To look like Control.
Yes.
We want it to be fucking sleek and right in there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I saw this going around and people flipping out about it. And I mean, over the break even, where I was just like, I don't get it. Like, I don't get why we're talking about it. Because if you remember,
look at the dev kit of any system ever.
Dude, when I would get demos for anything PlayStation related and I go there and see them, they always just look like the Avid boxes, which is just big old blocks that had a silver front to them. It's like, why even get Ben? They had a PlayStation logo on it, sure, but like, this doesn't show us anything or tell us anything about the design of this thing.
Not about the design. It does tell us that games are being worked on.
Not
rocket science. We knew that.
Yeah.
But it's exciting to see. It's exciting to see these in the wild. And it's just, I love that this is where the fun begins, to quote Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith.
Lest we forget.
I love that we're going to start getting that kind of like, oh, these guys are working on Xbox stuff. These guys are working on PlayStation stuff. Just the little buzz. Will this lead to game leaks? Eventually. That's how it works. But that's fun. you know?
Yeah, of course.
But like a year from now, it's now December 2nd. A year from now, we will have both next-gen consoles.
Can you believe it?
Like, that's crazy.
My God.
This next year is about to be insane in terms of new information, leaks, rumors, crazy shit going on. We're gonna know what the design looks like. We're gonna know what the controller looks like.
I'm excited.
Did you see the DualShock 5?
Yeah, then update. Like, they did the patent and then they showed the other thing. Yeah.
It looks more like the PS3 controller, but with the PS4 controller.
I'll believe it all when I see it. That's my thing. Is at this point, I'm not holding my breath for nothing, and I don't care about nothing. Mm-hmm. Oh, Barrett was able to make it work, as you can see here, if you're a visual listener.
Visual listener?
Yeah, you know what I mean. Okay. There you go. So the idea is that you could stack them up is what I've heard, and then the air gets blown out around it. I assure you that it's not anything what the PlayStation 5 will look like.
Do you think it's...
Right there, you can see, actually, to the left there, or the right. God, I'm so stupid. Those are the PS3 and PS4 dev kits right there, right? So, I mean, you can see
that's what you were talking about?
Yeah, exactly. This is like giant Avid systems. Actually, I think it's a... I don't know about that top one. The one below it is a PlayStation 4.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a V because it's like the PS5?
Roman numeral 5, man.
Damn, guys. Maybe this is
V
the design.
V will come too.
Maybe it is the design. You know what I mean? Who knows?
Be cool.
What do I want to go next with you? Let's go to Bilbo Baggins's.
Wow.
Bilbo writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames just like you can and says, hope you all had amazing breaks and vacations and are set up and pumped for the holiday craziness that is nigh upon us. Speaking of holidays, Gregway, I could use your help. If there are no other messages worthy of your time, they're not. It's you talk about the holiday craziness. That was November. December is like we're all just here. If it's like
December's planning for the next year.
Senioritis around here in the video game industry. Mm-hmm. Nobody's got anything to say. I've never owned an Xbox. Been a PlayStation pony boy forever. I also own a Switch and adore it. But with Xbox One S Digital currently on sale, my interest has been piqued. I've loved reading and hearing about Microsoft's recent moves and have gotten curiouser and curiouser. I'm tempted to grab a One S Digi for $150 and sample all the sweetness that Game Pass is currently providing. I just need to know, is it worth pulling the trigger? I'm an avid gamer, love learning about developing games, and am an actor working hard to mocap and mocap and voiceover in games. So I love understanding and exploring different ecosystems. And the $150 price point seems like a perfect fit for Xbox. It seems like these sorts of offers, Phil Spencer and Microsoft, are getting people like me to listen. Do I answer this angelic clarion call, or do I wait to see what the PlayStation 5 and Scarlett are going to bring in 2020?
I really think that it comes down to, do you have an extra 150? But more than that, do you have time?
Yeah.
Do you have time right now where are you itching to play some more games? Because there is a huge backlog of experiences you haven't had if you haven't been in the Xbox ecosystem.
Sure.
Which would be a great time now, too, before the craziness starting in March next year, for these next 3-4 months. To pay $150, get the crazy deals for Game Pass. Guess what? Next week, there's probably going to be a Game Pass deal during Game Awards. There always is.
Yeah.
So you get the deal, and then you're going to have 3-4 months to play through the Halos, play through the Forzas, play through the Gears, whatever.
I hear you. I don't even think that's the value I think of anymore when I think of it. For $150 and get Game Pass, right? Of like, play through Outer Worlds, play through Outer Wilds, right? That's on there. Play through After Party. Like, there's so many amazing games that are on there right now that are current and new. Like, I feel like it saves you the money of going out and buying those games piecemeal.
But he has a PlayStation. He has a Switch. So, like, you got to imagine, like, he's already playing those games.
Well, no, I don't think so. That's my thing. And I think the power of Game Pass is that it is that sampler platter where you look at our After Party and you're like, all right, it reviewed pretty well, but I haven't heard any buzz about it. And nobody's talking about it. But it seems like it might be my kind of game, but I really don't want to spend $15-$20 or whatever. Is it even more than that? I'm not even sure what the retail is on After Party. I don't know. And so you do this at $150 and suddenly the door is open to all these games that you can jump in and be like, critics, we're all right, middling on whatever this is. Jump in and try it and see if it's for you and get out and keep going that way, let alone catch up on things you've missed from the 360 era.
I feel like regardless whether it's for the Xbox ecosystem games or it is for these like newer like third-party titles, I feel like you're going to get hooked to Game Pass and you're going to be a Xbox gamer next generation, even if that just means in addition to Sony and Switch. Even if you don't buy the Xbox One X and I'm just going to use Game Pass and xCloud, whatever they end up figuring out.
Yeah.
But that is what Xbox and Microsoft are really trying to gear towards right now. And $150 entry point, like, essentially it's $150 right now to be able to have a one-up year on Xbox games that I think is totally worth it if you have the means, but more so if you have the time.
I think you nailed it with time. What are you hoping to accomplish with this? How many games are you looking to play with it and go off that?
Yeah.
Based on a little bit we know from this, I would say yeah. I would totally say yeah. If you're interested, if your curiosity is piqued, I think $150 is such a low barrier to entry. Mm-hmm. Why not? Pull the trigger and jump in. You're like, oh, should I wait and see what Xbox and PlayStation are going to have at the end of the year? I can tell you what they're going to have at the end of the year.
Yeah.
They're going to have the same services, better graphics, and a few exclusives on each one of them. And probably, honestly, not even that many exclusives at launch. It'll be a few, the promise of what's coming. Mm-hmm. I think you could do this and ride this out the entire year, and then really in 2021 get serious about, okay, I'm waiting for this PlayStation 5, this Xbox Scarlet exclusive. What is it going to be? Where am I getting into? Not that I'm not saying there's going to be good shit at launch on either of those systems. Again, if Horizon 2 is a PlayStation 5 title, I'll eat my hat. I won't. I hope it is. I want to believe. I want to believe, Tim.
Yeah.
But, like, I think you should do it. Pull the trigger. Do it. Do it.
Do it.
Do it. Riot goes jingle. Another brand new name, I do believe. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames says, Greg, congratulations on the Borderlands 3 Platinum this weekend. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Platinum 106, no big deal. I've always been dubbed an achievement whore by my friends and love collecting them. I have to hand it to PlayStation for having the better tracking/reward system, though. Getting a Platinum Trophy actually feels like a reward for exploring everything a game has to offer. While on Xbox, there's no fanfare, no pop-up, no badge, nothing. It pops up and says you got the achievement. Oh, I see what you mean, but it's not like, boom, 1,000. I digress. My question is this. What does Xbox need to do to take achievements to the next level? And do you think they'll make any of those changes when Scarlet comes around next holiday? My suggestion would be utilizing the already implemented profile badge system to add badges for completed games as well. Tim?
Yeah.
You love to exist in this Xbox ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Every time I say, well, you want to play this game? You say, yeah, get me an Xbox code. I'm playing Xbox
One. It's less Xbox ecosystem and more just I just want to play the game. I am not in the ecosystem at all. Every time I boot up the Xbox, I'm like, what am I doing right now? Every fucking time, Greg.
Every time?
Yeah. It's like going through the menu. I'm just like, I don't understand this. I don't understand this layout at all. With this, it's weird because I feel like the achievements are obviously working. People, there are the hunters out there. They love getting the gamer scores and stuff. And I feel like it's a subjective thing about what gives you a better experience. Because I feel like there's something about the gamer score that...
Well, it's one of those things where I think people have their horse in the race and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think, you know, I'm surprised that he's saying here, I am surprised that they are saying here, right, that they think Xbox does it better. Because I think oftentimes you hear people don't say that about it. And I can't speak for everybody. Dunham does it both ways, where he gets an achievement and a trophy every day, which I think is crazy.
That's insane.
And I'm invested in one ecosystem, right, where it's like, I understand PlayStation, I like the Platinum, I like what's going on. So I think... wherever you are, it makes sense and it works for you. But we need someone who would speak to Xbox about this.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on.
Who could this possibly be? Phil Spencer himself?
Phil Spencer himself. I don't know. Is he a big a trophy or achievement whore? You know what I mean?
I don't know, man.
Hello?
Ray Navarez Jr., twitch.tv/brownman. You are on Kinda Funny Games Daily. How are you?
I'm good. I'm honored to be here.
We have a question that we need an Xbox achievement expert for, and that, I assume, is you.
I'd like to think I'm one of those. All right, go for it.
I'm going
to
read the entire question. Well, first off, this guy is saying that he thinks he's an Xbox achievement whore as well. He says that
okay.
PlayStation makes a better deal out of the Platinum. Like, when you get 1,000 points in an Xbox game, there's no fanfare, whereas, you know, you get one big trophy on PlayStation. Would you agree that the PlayStation trophies do fanfare better?
I would agree, yes. Getting a Platinum Trophy is pretty hype. Xbox doesn't have anything like that. You kind of get the last achievement, and you're like, oh, it's over. That's pretty much it. Getting the Platinum Trophy is kind of like very significant. It's iconic, and I kind of wish Xbox had something like that.
There you go.
Okay, great. And then here's the actual question, all right? This is Riot Goes Jingle. What does Xbox need to do to take achievements to the next level? And do you think they'll make any of those changes for when Scarlet comes around next holiday? My suggestion would be utilizing the already implemented profile badge system to add badges for completed games as well. Ray Navarez Jr., Brown Man on Twitch, what would you like to see Xbox achievements look like on Scarlet? How could they make it better?
I mean, they're already taking steps with things like achievement tracking and even things on your dashboard, letting you know what achievements you're close to. So they're taking steps in the right direction. A badge system would be great, a way to display your completions, if you will. I think on the 360, one of the dashboards, it actually showed you how many completions you had, which is a cool feature, but they did remove it. I think a Xbox version of a platinum trophy would be cool.
Yeah.
And just a way to signify or to show your completions without someone having to use, like, other websites or really go digging for it. I mean, it is very, very niche achievement hunting as it is, so I'm not sure it'll happen, but it would be a cool feature nonetheless. You know, I'm very happy that they do add something for, you know, all 15 achievement hunters left.
And that's what I was going to say. Do you feel that achievement hunting has gotten, like, it's not as much of a big deal as it was when I remember when it first happened on Xbox, everybody was about it. It seemed like everybody talked about it. And now, obviously, there's so many other things going on. I feel, and it's been around so long, you don't hear about it in the same breath like we used to.
Yeah, no, it's definitely died down a lot, especially with how easy games have gotten. Since a lot of indie games now, same on PlayStation too. In a way, it's better or I guess worse depending how you look at it with PlayStation, because you could stack it with Regions and the PSP and stuff.
Love it.
A gamer score isn't as hard as it used to be. You can get, you know, 1,000 gamer score, a platinum trophy in like 20 minutes with some indie games. So sure. It's kind of lost its luster.
We're gotten better.
Oh yeah. But, you know, I still enjoy it, and the people I still talk to, you know, the group I work on achievements with, we're still fans of it, obviously. But, yeah, I agree. It's definitely died down a lot because, you know, it was a cool thing when it first happened. But now, you know, it's just kind of lost its luster. And like you said, there's a lot of other things going on. So,
okay.
What is your gamer score now?
Almost 1.3 million.
Damn. You're a real man, and yeah. I like it.
Yeah, I would love to touch a woman at some point in my life, but achievements are more important.
Oh, yeah, you got to be streaming those achievements all the time, I understand.
Yeah, I do, yeah, exactly.
Your fiance's sitting offside like, come on, can we finish this? Stop playing Rugrats Adventure. All right, Ray, we love you very much. We still got to talk today about you coming out here in January.
Yes, absolutely. Have a good rest of your show, and I love you guys very much.
We love
you,
too.
Man.
Bye, man.
Take care.
Bye. What a nice
Well, there
man.
You go.
Go over there. Twitch.tv/brownman. Support Ray. An up-and-coming streamer. You know what I mean? I think right now it's somewhere like Gary Witta's in the top echelon, Ray's in that second tier, and then Andy's all the way at the bottom.
All the way.
You know what I mean?
Where are we in that tier?
Oh, shit.
Us? Yeah. We're nowhere. It's not even worth putting Kind of Funny Games on. But if you do have Amazon Prime, you have Twitch Prime, and we'd love if you pulled your car over and linked those accounts and gave us your free 30 days.
Pull it over to the side, not into the medium.
Here's what I'm going to say, too. You're on the highway? Just stop. Put on your flashers. God. Everybody understands. Everybody gets what's happening. And not
no
to mention,
understand.
Probably the majority of cars around you are also listening to this show at the exact same spot.
Majority of cars.
Are they cars from Hideo Kojima's game?
Yeah, exactly. Death Stranding, car, talking car. It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You. Tell me your name, username, platform of choice, why you need help in a game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you. Everybody plays games together. Today, Zigerion. Z-I-G-E-R-I-O-N needs help on Xbox. Hello? I'm asking Kind of Funny best friends to come and try out Battleborn for Squad Up. We have family and friends private matches every weekend. We welcome anyone who's new or old returning player to help this dying game. It has a nice learning curve to the multiplayer if you're into the hero shooter slash melee. We usually play at nighttime during the weekends, so shoot me a message if you want to get in. Smile. And then he does a smile emoji.
There you go.
Hell yeah. So hit up Zigerion if you want to play some Battleborn on Xbox.
What a nice boy.
Because why not? Tim,
mm-hmm.
We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast service around the globe. Alex Russ says, for Shadowbringers, they made 3 attempts before canceling the order altogether. They were spread out enough that it covered a couple biweekly pay dates. That's not wrong. I don't think okay. And Kebab says Xbox achievements do have a grander achievement pot for when you get a rare achievement. Okay, so there you go. I don't like I liked achievements on 360.
Mm-hmm.
I liked how they did it. Xbox One, I feel like they buried them in menus. I don't see them as much, not as big a deal. And they're a big deal to me.
Yeah.
It's still real to me.
I think that's the whole thing, though.
I know.
So it's not a big deal to most people.
I know, and they won't be probably going forward.
You know? I just think that they've become just a feature of video games.
Sure.
And it's just like that there are the communities that really care.
Yeah, there are.
Right?
Yeah.
And I feel like...
Played Beat Saber on Oculus Quest last night. God, it broke my heart. Like, I should be getting this. I should be working towards my PlayStation VR trophy goals. Just a better experience, though. Let's talk about who's hosting the rest of the week. Tomorrow it'll be me and Imran Khan, the former informer. Wednesday, a very special guest, Blessing Jr.
Making his return to the
show. Exactly. An up-and-comer in town. He's going to be hosting with Gary Whitta. And then Thursday, it's going to be me in GameSpot's Mike Mahardy. And then Friday, me, Greg Miller, and Imran. We will be doing that show at 9:30. If you're watching live, 30-minute earlier start time. Because I'll be going down to L.A. to be on Naomi Kyle's Caffeine Show.
Fantastic.
What a week. What a week, everybody. In GamesCast Thursday, 2 p.m. With me, Fran, Tim. Hold on, I want to see if I can confirm a special guest because I didn't even tell you about this.
No, because
this is one of those that like came through. I'm like, probably never happened, so I didn't bother mentioning it because they were trying to get in on Wednesday. I was like, well, what if we did the next day? And I still don't have anything there, so we'll see what happens.
But
if this happens, a GamesCast you can't miss.
Wow.
And if it doesn't happen, GamesCast you can't miss. No. I beat a Pokemon, everybody.
I know.
Do you want to hear me talk about a fucking Pokemon?
I'm debating making this episode Pokemon Sword and Shield review.
You got to fucking get your ass together then, you know what I mean?
I'm 5 gyms in.
Okay, fucking beat it, man.
I think I'm going to.
Do you even know? Tell me how much you hate Hop, because until you fucking hate Hop, you don't know Pokemon Sword
Hop
and Shield.
Hop sucks!
He fucking sucks!
He's really the worst.
Why are you still here? I beat you all the time and you lose all the time.
Like the game's trying to make you feel bad for beating him, but I find so
twist
much
the knife. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Fuck that kid.
Fuck that kid indeed.
There's a plot twist with him, though. I didn't see coming. But whatever. We'll talk about that later.
I saw it all coming. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Remember, each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you'd like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames with your 25th. PlayStation anniversary memories from those entire 25 years. Remember, you can get the show everywhere. Podcast services, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com. No matter where you get it, please like, subscribe, share, do all that jazz. It helps us out a lot. Pull your car over. If you try to block the highway and then get out and be like, no one passes until you subscribe, if you know what I mean? If you follow any of this advice, it will not hold up in court, so don't try to sue me. You know what I mean? Because I look like Santa.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.